Hello and welcome back to Get Codably Smart. I'm not smart, but you're already here. So, I'm pretty sure I'm not that late for the podcast, but let's get right into the episode of the rodents. Now, chinchillas are either two of species. Now, if you know what a chinchilla is, I'm very happy for you. Very cute creatures. So, two species are the chinchilla and the chinchilla La Negra. I'm pretty sure I said that right. So chinchillas are either of two species of crepuscular rodents, which basically means that they're most active at dusk and dawn. Of the Pavodora caviomorpha. Now, if you don't know what that is, it's basically like some sort of ranking system in biology. And I actually read about it, and apparently Pavodora is the Pavodora is literally at the bottom of the whole list, because I don't know why. So the highest on the list, I forgot what it was, but what its description was that these type animals are extremely important or endangered or something. So chinchillas were at the bottom, as in it literally said they were non-important, which I find very sad, but They are slightly larger and more robust than ground squirrels and are native to the Andes Mountains in South America. Now, they live in colonies called herds, which is surprising, at high elevations of up to 4,270 meters or 14,000 feet. Now, you see, I'm only 5 feet. That's a lot of feet, yeah. I feel like I'm semi-tall, but 14,000 feet, yeah, that's pretty tall. Anyway, historically, chinchillas have lived in an area that included parts of Bolivia, Peru, and Chile. But today, colonies in the wild are known only in Chile, which is sad. Along with their relative, the Viscachas. Yeah. They make up the family Chinchillidae. I'm pretty sure we had an episode that ended with the last three letters of what I just said. They are also related to the chinchilla rat, which is... it makes sense. The chinchilla has the densest fur of all mammals that live on land, with around 2,000 hairs per square inch and 50 hairs growing from each follicle. That's a lot of fur. In the water, the sea otter has a denser coat, which is, yeah, they have like, it's extremely waterproof, which is very cool. The chinchilla is named after the Chincha people of the Andes, who once wore its dense velvet-like fur. Wow. By the end of the 19th century, chinchillas had become quite rare after being hunted for their ultra-soft fur. Sorry. Feeling a bit better now. Anyway. So yeah, they become quite rare after being hunted for their ultra-soft fur, and most chinchillas currently are used in the fur industry for clothing and other accessories that are farm-raised. Domestic chinchillas descended from sea, which I have no idea what sea is. Yeah, I just sort of got it. I'm just reading my notes, okay? So, La Negra are descended from sea. La Negra are sometimes kept as pets and may be considered as a type of pocket pet, which you can just keep it in your pocket if you need a chinchilla. I don't know why you would, but yeah. Anyway, let's get into the facts. So, they are about 0.5 to 0.8 kilos, which it's quite light. I mean, it's about a gram. And the weird fact about these guys is that they overheat very, very quickly. Since they're used to the cold areas on top of their 14,000 feet in the air, wherever, they actually are, their fur is dense because of that, because they're so high and it's so cold. So if you're to bring them even to a tropical region where it's like not that cold, but it's not that hot, they would overheat instantly. Almost. Yeah. But right, now let's get into this next creature, which, well, I'm pretty sure you already know. The capybara. It's one of my favorite creatures, actually. So the capybara, or the greater capybara, is a giant KV rodent native to South America. It is the largest living rodent and a member of the genus Hydrocrotius, which means water pigs. So they're just a bunch of water pigs. Yep. The only other extant member is the lesser capybara, Hydrochorius. Yes. Isithymus, which I'm guessing means lesser. Its close relatives include guinea pigs, rock cavies, and it's more distantly related to the agouti and the chinchilla, which we actually have, and the nutria, which I actually don't know two of those, but we, and which I'm guessing you already know what I'm talking about because, well, we just talked about what I'm talking about. Well, the capybara inhabits the savannas and dense forests and lives near bodies of water. It is a highly social species and can be found in groups as large as 100 individuals. That is a lot of capybaras. I don't even know if I can keep that many capybaras. But I want them. But I don't. But usually live up to groups of 10 to 20. The capybara is hunted for its meat and hide, and also the grease from its thick, fatty skin. It is not considered a threatened species, which is pretty good, because if they were, that'd be sad. But right, this next time on to the facts. This thing is 35 to 66 kilograms. That is extremely heavy. I don't even, yeah, no, it's about my weight. More next to the second one. If you're to round it up, okay? It's more near the second one. But, and it's also, for Americans here, 77 to 146 pounds. I'm pretty sure it's heavier than you. Probably. And now it's time for the weird fact. Now, if you know this creature, I forgot what it's called. It lives on an island somewhere, and since they have no natural predators, they're actually extremely social towards humans. However, the capybara acts the same, but it has way too many predators. It has jaguars, it has anacondas, crocodiles and stuff, caimans actually specifically. So yeah, but they're still extremely friendly to humans. Although they still will defend themselves, so don't think you can go hunting for capybara. They will bite you. And will hurt. But anyway, and last but definitely not least, the beaver! Yes, I'm pretty sure multiple of you know this guy. If you don't, you're weird. Anyway, beavers are large semi-aquatic rodents of the Northern Hemisphere. There are two existing species, the North American beaver and the Eurasian beaver. Beavers are the second largest living rodents after capybaras, weighing up to 50 kilograms, 100 pounds, and they also have stout bodies with large heads, long chiseled-like incisors, and brown or gray fur. They also have hand-like front feet and webbed back feet, and tails that are flat and scaly. The two species differ in skull and tail shape and fur color, which is strange. I mean, yeah, one of them lives in extremely cold lives in extremely cold and or hot region, and the other one is there Europe and Asia, is they I don't think they have like really specific stuff about them. Like, we know America is cold and also can be extremely hot, and in Africa can also be extremely hot, but currently it's extremely cold. When I say extremely cold, I'm pretty sure 17 degrees Celsius. That does not sound cold, but for here, it's extremely cold. Anyway, so I don't really think Asia has specifics. I don't know what they say about Asia. But anyway, beavers can be found in a number of freshwater habitats, such as rivers, streams, and lakes, and also ponds. If I keep a pond in my house, maybe a beaver will appear right there. And yes, that's a Harry Potter reference. So they're found in a number of freshwater habitats, such as rivers, streams, lakes, and ponds. They are also herbivorous, consuming tree bark, aquatic plants, grasses, and sedges. Now, if you don't know what a sedge is, neither do I. It's just basically some sort of flower kind of plant. It's pretty cool. Anyway, beavers build dams and lodges using tree branches, vegetation, rocks, and mud. They chew down trees for building material, which is amazing, actually. Very smart creatures. Dams restrict water flow, and the lodges serve as shelters. So they normally build the lodges in the middle of that lake and pond that they've created, which is, once again, very cool. Their infrastructure creates wetlands used by many other species, and because of their effect on other organisms in the ecosystem, the beavers are considered a keystone species. A keystone species. If any of you know what a keystone behemoth is, if you get that, you get that. But anyway, adult males and females live in monogamous pairs, which basically means that they can be lifelong mates, which I think is very cute, with their offspring as well. After the first year, the young help their parents repair dams and lodges, and the older siblings may also help raise newly born offspring. Once again, extremely smart creatures. Now, historically, beavers have been hunted down, sadly, for their fur and meat, and castoreum has been used in medicine, perfume, and food flavoring, which is you. Beaver pelts have been a major driver of the fur trade, and before protection began in the 19th and early 20th centuries, overhunting had nearly exterminated both species. Their populations have since rebounded, and they are listed as a species of least concern by the IUCN Red List of Mammals. Basically means that they're not endangered anymore. Now, in human culture, the beaver symbolizes industriousness, especially a connection with construction. And it is the national animal of, guess what? I'm pretty sure if you live there, you'll guess this instantly. Canada, which is cool. Anyway, so facts. This thing is around 72 to 32 kilograms. Once again, much heavier than me. And the weird fact is that when they're warning their other family members, they will actually slap their tail against the water. This sound is extremely loud. So not only will it scare whatever it is, like, can you imagine being a fox, you're just walking past a lake, you're drinking water, and you just hear a slap. I'm pretty sure I would, no matter what animal I was, climb a tree, because that should probably sound like a gunshot. And just warns all the other beavers to enter the lodge, and so they can protect themselves. But that is it for this episode. Quite a long episode. Not gonna lie, I don't normally make episodes this long. But this is Gecko Doubly Smart. And I'll see you next time. Goodbye. Oh, and also, before I go, I would like to give a special shout out to two of my best friends who actually listen to every single one of my podcasts. I reference them as X and Z, so if you guys know who you are, thank you for supporting me. But in all seriousness, I'll see you later. Goodbye.